Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Hey, y'all, and welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. Yes, y'all, we are back for another episode of the podcast, and we're really excited. This is episode 2. And in this episode, we are going to be discussing the topic of beliefs. This is a big deal for the podcast because that is a part of our brand, Beyond Your Beliefs. So we kind of want to dig deeper into what beliefs are, what our personal beliefs are, what creates them, how are they controlled, are we responsible for them, etc. So I'm excited. Toya, how are you feeling about today's episode?
I feel good about it. This episode will show kind of hit on the different beliefs we've had, as you said, and how they're created and how you can change them if they no longer resonate with you.
Exactly. Oh, the how you can change it part is the practical application, which is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Guys, please try to have an open mind with today's episode. If we are mentioning concepts and thoughts that you have never ever considered, or it may even sound a little bit triggering to you, either meditate or pray on it and see if this is an episode that you need to listen to right now, or just take a deep breath, be open, and just see it through to the end and see how you feel. Even if it doesn't sit well with you today, it may at a later date, or maybe there are other people that you may run into that will present it in a way that's more palatable to you and for you if it's for you. Okay, so eat the meat, spit out the bones. We're just trying to invite you guys into our personal journey. And as we mentioned in the last episode, we're still learning. We're always learning and trying to understand things. So we're not saying that this is the end all be all on the topic. Right. This is just where we are today and how we feel about it today.
Yes.
So I think we should probably start off with defining what a belief is. And according to the World Wide Web, a belief is the mental acceptance of and conviction in the truth, actuality, or validity of something. It is something believed or accepted as true, especially a particular tenet or a body of tenets accepted by a group of persons. So our beliefs pretty much control everything that we do. We do the things that we do because of the subconscious programming, which becomes our beliefs, and those beliefs becomes our thoughts becomes our words, and our words becomes our actions, and so on and so forth.
And beliefs are only your truth. They are subjective. But they do control us as individuals.
They do. They do. And I was working on my course earlier today, and when I got to the portion of truth, it was really interesting to see it tie in to beliefs. And essentially what conclusion I have come to is that what we consider truth, I think you have two types of truth. I think there are immutable truths, meaning that they are what they are. They don't change. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. And it does not necessarily require your acceptance of it or your belief in it to operate. It's going to do what it does. And then you have mutable truths that I believe are subjective to the person's perception.
Right.
So it's kind of like the law of correspondence, where you have the as above, so below, or the macrocosm and the microcosm. So you have, for example, the creator or God or that higher power, whatever you want to call it. You have that being that have created immutable truths that the universe operates based off of. For us on Earth, one of those immutable laws could be like the concept or the law of gravity. Gravity has always been in existence on Earth, throughout any span of time. You do not have to speak the same language to understand it. It doesn't matter where you are, it's pretty much going to operate the same. And it does not require your belief for it to be effective. So you don't have to believe in gravity for gravity to be operating in your life. So that's like an immutable truth. That's on the macrocosm level. But then on the microcosm level, you have humans who are the microcosm of that God or that higher power, which is the macro, right? So you have us, and because we are made in the image of that higher power, we too hold the ability to create truths. However, ours are more mutable. So, depending upon, like, if we take the church, for example, the beliefs and the dogmas that are born out of the church, to that group of people, they consider those to be immutable laws or immutable beliefs. So it's like whatever their beliefs are, they don't get to change them. They feel like this is what's true. This is truth, and this is what it is. And they apply those truths to their life, and they govern themselves according to those truths. Whereas a person who may not be religious could hear those same beliefs and feel like, no, I don't have to do that. I don't have to apply that to my life. So then perception kicks in, and we allow our perception to then filter or color how we see things, and also whether or not we define it as something that is changeable or unchanging. So I think that's really interesting. So yeah, I think ultimately it's a little bit of both. I think that there are beliefs that we have as the collective, and then I think there are beliefs that we agree upon, or may not agree upon as individuals. So for example, you can have, using the church example that we already had, if you have people in the church, there is a collective agreeing to certain beliefs. That's what make them all have something in common as far as being the church. But then if you go even deeper, you're going to find on a more individual level that they may not agree on everything. So I think that's why you have so many denominations, for example, in the church. So it's like we collectively all believe what we believe as far as the Abrahamic faith. But then when we get deeper, that's where we're not agreeing. Now it's opinions and perceptions and individual beliefs that are taking place. And for those that don't want to be confined to that, they branch off and they create their version or their denomination of it.
And beliefs can be, and because beliefs do change, I think it's safe to say this is what I believe as of now. Because as you're continuing to grow, your beliefs can change. You have your beliefs that are ingrained in you from childhood, and then you form beliefs based off of observation of others, or your own experience can change your beliefs. So when you have When beliefs vary so much, that's why beliefs, I think beliefs is what causes you to judge what's right and wrong. But it's your own personal perception of what's right and wrong. It doesn't make it factual. But I think that
like you said, in the church, that's why you'll have the different denominations or the people within the church that still kind of have different beliefs. And so you'll hear where, well, in the spiritual world, they'll say, you know, you hear this, and if this sits with you, then you can apply it. But if it doesn't, leave it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's factual, and it may not work for everyone. So it's definitely according to you and how you view things as to your beliefs. So I think when you think about beliefs, for me, it helps me not be so judgmental because of someone else's belief. It's not my own, but I can understand maybe they experienced something that I haven't experienced. So this is mm-hmm. what they formed a belief for them. And so you can't judge it. You shouldn't judge it, maybe.
Yeah, like we definitely can't assume that somebody holds the same truths that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that goes into the next question, which is what creates these beliefs? What do you think creates our beliefs?
I think it's just like I said, I think it's the childhood. Your childhood is what you've been taught. A lot of beliefs we keep from the way that we were raised. You know, you may have a belief that one of the things I say, like I talked to this lady and I said, you know, your conviction may not be my conviction. So if you believe strongly that this is what you're supposed to do in your relationship and you feel convicted if you don't, that has absolutely nothing to do with me and how I feel, because you can't. The topic was, what did she ask me? Oh, she asked me about cooking. She feel like, you know, you should cook. The woman should cook. She should cook for her husband. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if that's what you believe. And she's like, you know, she don't want the guy to do anything in her house. Mm. You know, he don't need, because she's gonna do it right. But she also feels like that's what the woman is supposed to do. She's supposed to clean. She's supposed to cook. She's supposed to take care of everything. All he's supposed to do is just be there.
Mm.
And he can take care of outside, but inside, that's her. And okay. She feels like you're not doing your duties as a wife, as the woman of the house, if you're not taking care of those things. And that's when I said, oh, well, that's not my conviction.
Right.
hey, whatever, you know, if that's how, you know, if that's what you feel convicted about, I mean, that, hey, that it can be someone who may feel like she's supposed to iron her husband's clothes every day. And if she don't, she may feel convicted by it. She may feel like she's wronged her husband. I don't know. But it's not my conviction. So it's not something that I'm going to apply. And so that was the conversation. And that's her belief. So she's going to stand on it, but she can raise her kids on it. So her kids will form that belief based off of what they've seen. They've observed their mom
right.
mm-hmm. In the house doing this and that. And they've observed, as you get older, you see your friends going through things and they're having their experience. And you may say, well, oh, I like how she do this, or, oh no, I don't want no parts of that. Mm-hmm. So then you form your beliefs based off that. And that's how come beliefs change, because you interact with different people.
Yeah.
And you learn different things from different people. Some things you pick up, some things you don't. So mm-hmm. I think it's based off of that. And then you may have your own experience, as you may have those childhood beliefs and you operate in them and you realize it's not working for you. And you mm-hmm. realize, oh, I shouldn't have to do this, or I don't necessarily agree with this. I had matter of fact, two different people today told me that they do not believe in living with someone before you're married.
Oh wow.
And
in 2022,
and one was a guy, one was an older guy, and one was a younger lady. And they feel like they feel like if you live with the person before you marry them, then why should they marry you? And for me, my response was, well, I actually recommend you live with them before you marry them. And it's only because you can be with someone, you can spend the night, but you do not know daily what it's going to be when you get in that house. So to me, I think you should live together first to see, can you guys coexist together in the house?
Exactly.
But it was interesting because the age difference between the two, it was a big age difference, but that's their belief. So of course, if that happens with them, they're going to bring their children up in that same belief.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And it would take whether or not their external experiences mm-hmm. have more value than what they were taught. And then mm-hmm. at that point, whatever is valued is going to win and override the belief mm-hmm. or take over. So, mm-hmm. and that's what makes like growing up the influence of your friends and yes. your environment so strong, because there comes that point in your childhood where you care more about what your friends think mm-hmm, than mm-hmm. you do about what your parents think anyway.
Right.
So uh-huh. they can instill in you any said belief.
Right.
However, uh-huh. if you go to school and your friends, which are the ones you want to impress and their opinions matter more, if what they believe is mm-hmm. contradicting what your parents say, you're more than likely going to change your belief over to what they have said, because the value is there. It means mm-hmm. more to mm-hmm. you over there.
And some beliefs you don't even know you have because they're deep rooted subconsciously.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly.
You just feel the way and you have no clue. I don't know even where I picked that up from, but it's just there.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so interesting. And guys, there really is scientific basis around beliefs. I am a huge fan of Dr. Bruce Lipton's work. Mm-hmm. And he has a book called The Biology of Belief. And it's a great book. You should definitely get it. The premise of the book is that we are not subjected to our DNA and our genes, but rather our minds control the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind over matter. And so by simply changing your beliefs, you can change your life. And if you are a part of any sort of conscious community or new age or spirituality community, you've probably heard that saying that your thoughts control your life, or your beliefs can change your life, change your thoughts, change your life, or something around there. But they're saying it because it's literally true. And so the geek in me, of course, went and found on Dr. Bruce Lipton's website, where he kind of summarized how it is that the mind controls the body. And I'm going to give the short version as much as I can, but it starts with the cell. Like, he did some experiments that basically showed that a cell can operate without the nucleus. And so it's more so that when the nucleus is removed, the cell is able to continue with all of the normal functions. It can still recognize toxins and nutrients. And so what we realized is that, well, the DNA is contained in the nucleus. So if the cell can still operate and function without the nucleus or without the DNA, then the DNA clearly does not control the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So the cell literally can become whatever the environment needs it to become. So depending on the environment, if the cell needs to become liver cells, it can. If mm-hmm. it needs to become a lung cell, it can do that. And it was so crazy because while I was reading about that, all I was thinking was the whole I am that I am, or mm-hmm. for any of you guys that are familiar with the Moses code, that whole I am that I am sounds like the cell, which is the very particle of life. So it's like I will become that which I will become. Mm-hmm. So the cell can become whatever it needs to, right? So what we end up realizing is that the genes themselves do not have the ability to turn themselves on or off. The gene is simply the blueprint. So what happens is, instead of worrying about the genes themselves or the blueprint, we really should be more aware of the contractor or the person reading the genes. Because one contractor may look at the blueprint and will interpret it one way, and another contractor could do it another way. And so essentially, it's the perceptions, and the perceptions act as signals. And it's that which puts the blueprint to work. So our environment and our perceptions is what actually activate or deactivate the use of certain genes. Mm-hmm. So he goes on to talk about how, you know, the perception of the environment is not necessarily the reality of the environment. And that's interesting because a person's perception of the environment acts as a filter between reality of the environment and the biological reaction to it. And so our perceptions literally have the power to rewrite our genes.
I like how we talk about the diseases with genes and family right. diseases. And we'll say, you know, when you go to the doctor, they ask you who in your family has a history of this or who have a history of that. And so yes. we'll say that it's hereditary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when in fact, it's not necessarily hereditary, but it's right. the environment. It's what you believe. You believe, or you may have the same habits that may contribute to the disease,
right?
But not it's not hereditary, because if you had a different lifestyle, if you ate different, mm-hmm. it could prevent the disease or some, you know, you. So it's not what we've been, you know, taught that it's hereditary. It's in your DNA.
Exactly. Exactly. Pretty much. And so he also talks about basically how the cell has receptor proteins. And so just like a cell has receptor proteins to perceive the outside environment, we too, as humans on the outside anyway, we have the five senses in which we receive things too. So he goes on to talk about how a person may perceive a negative environment. A person may perceive a negative environment, whereas it could actually be a supportive or a positive one. Mm-hmm. But what makes them think that is their beliefs. So that supports the whole thing where it's like what's good for one person could be bad for another person, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So he also does talk about the fight or flight and how stress really can cause us to shut down in a lot of ways, because whenever we're experiencing stress, the body is in fight or flight mode. And so all of the logical thinking kind of goes out the window, and there's this survival instinct that just kind of kicks in and takes over. And so anyway, the point is that your beliefs actually serve as a filter between the real environment and your biology. And so you want to keep your perception clear and unbiased. That way you won't develop things that could be negative for you as positive, or things that could be positive for you as negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. And like I said, if you guys go on to his website, he has so many videos and different articles on his site that really breaks this down and explains it to you. But when it comes down to who creates the thoughts, which was the original question, the answer is we do. Mm-hmm. And the people that have influenced us in our childhood and in our upbringing. And as Toya mentioned, some of those beliefs are so buried into the subconscious that it has become a fabric of your being. And so there's no distinction between you and what's been programmed. It's mm-hmm. so you have no choice but to believe that all of it is you.
Mm-hmm.
And just for a plug, that is why, y'all, I vibe with astrology, okay? Because your astrology chart can show you the you without the influence of societal and cultural programming. Mm-hmm. It can show you the tendencies that are most you. And y'all, I'm just saying, I'm not saying you got to get into astrology. I'm just saying it is life changing. It's life changing. Okay, so do our beliefs control us, Toya?
Absolutely. Your beliefs definitely control you. Even when you feel like you want to make the right decision, because your beliefs determine, well, because it's not necessarily right or wrong, but you know, your beliefs determine your behavior, your attitude about what's good, bad, or indifferent. Your outlook on life is based on your beliefs. You know, you have traditional beliefs, cultural beliefs, you know, example, celebrating Christmas. You know, that's a traditional belief. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can look at it as, well, I don't really want to celebrate Christmas, but you may have family members that says, well, this is how we celebrate it. This is tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you want to veer off, you may feel very guilty if you don't participate in the Christmas festivities, or if you don't have the same Christmas meals, because you have to follow that tradition. And so that's the controlling factor, especially when it's deep rooted, and it's hard to change those beliefs when it's deep rooted like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have your cultural beliefs. And so, it can be how you wear your hair or the clothes that you decide to wear. Or as a culture, you may feel like this culture shouldn't wear the hairstyles your culture wear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, that's definitely controlling everything around you.
Let's double back to the statement that you made that nothing is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. might go over some people's heads. What exactly does that mean?
That means that good and bad is only based on the person that's having the experience. So I can have what I consider to be a bad experience, and the next person can have the same experience and it doesn't affect them that way at all.
Exactly.
It's based on my perspective. So I can't say something is bad because it's bad to me,
mm-hmm.
because I put a label on what's good and bad, but it doesn't mean that it's actually good and bad. One mm-hmm. of the words I like to use, the cuss words, you know, you can't say this word, you can't say that word, but who says, why can't we? Why is that a bad word?
Because of the power that we've given to it.
Right.
Collectively. And that's mm-hmm. why I was saying earlier that it's the whole, you have those truths that are collective, mm-hmm. and then you have your own individual truths.
Mm-hmm.
And it falls under that. The whole good, bad, or good versus evil
mm-hmm.
has a collective truth. Like, we collectively may say, thou shalt not steal, or stealing is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on an individual level, somebody might say, well, what if I needed to feed my family and I didn't have anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if there were riots all over the town and you have these mobs of people robbing the grocery stores? Do you not mm-hmm. jump in to try to get you something for your family so that y'all don't go without? Or do you at that right. point continue to follow the collective truth that thou shalt not steal.
Right, because if you believe you should have stealed, then regardless of the situation, you shouldn't steal.
Right.
But so now we want to, well, this works for me this time.
Right.
And that's where I be, that's where I'm confused.
Exactly. Because
can you or you can't?
That's like, the part that makes the higher power in us, the carbon copy, because we have a hard time as human beings sticking with the what we say are laws. We have such a hard time sticking with, like, look, you saw the whole thing with the whole abortion thing going on. Like, we create them, we overturn them, we bend them, we change them. But when it comes to the creator, there are certain laws that take place no matter how much you may pray against them, no matter how much you may want it to change. This is what it is, you know.
Right,
you
can exactly.
And the laws from the creator are not, they don't show favorites, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Unfortunately, if you are somewhere and you have your little baby toddler wander off and they fall off something, that gravity is going to kick in. It's not going to say, oh my gosh, it was just a little baby and they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know where they were going and they fell. Like, it doesn't work like that. Gravity is going to work all the time. It's not going to favorite one person and then not favorite the next person. But with humans on the individual level,
everything, it varies.
It varies. Everything is a case by case.
Right. 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 That's what. And so it's like, so then if it's case by case, how can we judge it?
Exactly.
How can we judge it?
And whose judgment becomes the end all be all?
Right. Whose judgment is law? Exactly. And why is your judgment law?
Exactly. And that's why I say at the end of the day, the universal laws are the only laws that I can consider at this time in my life as directly from the creator. Because like I said, if I have to explain a law to you and you can't, it's not something you can observe or test on your own, then I'm giving you my perception. And right. see, with gravity, you can have 10 people from 10 different countries in 10 different places of the world, and they all drop a pencil at the same time. They're all going to be able to observe without talking. They can all observe the effect of gravity taking place. It does not take a translator. They don't have to talk about or explain what happened. There is an innate knowing that gravity has just taken place. But when it comes to man's laws, it requires all this explaining. You got to take a class. You need a whole degree to understand what the heck man is doing. And to me, and that's how you know change. Perception has taken place. Exactly. Like, whose interpretation becomes the right interpretation? And when I was at the hair salon probably like a month ago, getting my locks retwisted. And the lady who does my hair, she is like, she's a Christian, but she's not like Abrahamic faith, like strong to the core type of Christian. She's like more of a, she has more of like a Black power kind of twist to how she is. But she does believe in certain, you know, like the laws of God, things like that. And it was really interesting because when we were having like this little debate, she was talking about the Bible. And I was like, so the Bible itself has been rewritten and translated so many times by people that are fallible. She agreed that human beings are fallible beings and that God is infallible. And I'm like, okay, so how is it that you can trust a translation? I said, because at this point, the Bible is like a telephone game. It may have started out one way, but we know what happens when you play the telephone game. The information gets lost, misconstrued, twisted, misheard, or what have you, by the time it gets where it needs to go. And she was basically trying to say no, because the Bible was given divinely by God, that these people got what the interpretation they got was exactly God's interpretation. And but I said, absolutely not, because God could be pouring all the wisdom of the universe into your mind. Your beliefs, your experiences, and your environment will filter whatever God has poured into your mind. You will still only be able to receive as much as you know. If it's something you don't know, you won't be able to receive it.
But we, you and I can read the same scripture right now, and I can still interpret it different, and you can interpret it different. And 2 months from now, you can go back to that same scripture, and you can interpret it completely different than we both just interpreted.
Yes. Yes.
So then that's going to be based on your situation, based on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
It changes all the time.
Exactly. So that goes back to whose final judgment is the right way. And it's like, none of them. And that's what confirms for me that spirituality is a personal journey. Your relationship with your higher power is a personal journey, because I can only be responsible for the way that I see things. Mm-hmm. I can trust my experience. But the moment that someone requires of me to sacrifice experiences I know that I've had to be true, and instead accept your truth and your experience, I'm no longer having faith in myself. I'm no longer believing what I know to be true. I'm mm-hmm. taking your word for it, as if your word holds more weight or takes precedence mm-hmm. over my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. shouldn't be. So when it comes down to these beliefs, like you said, it definitely, when you look at it this way, or at least you consider it the way that we're trying to provoke your mind to see, you can see why, like you said, Toya, why judge? Mm-hmm. Because the journey is way too personal. We mm-hmm. all have our own perceptions and interpretations that make us believe what it is that we believe in the first place. So mm-hmm. you can't always assume that somebody holds the same truth that you do. And the ones that you do collectively are well known in the collective. So mm-hmm. if as a collective, we have decided that we can't kill and we can't steal, great, on a collective level, we should do that. Now, if you hold personal beliefs that are different, that's going to eventually cause an issue, because you're going against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, too, there are some truths that we may not want to accept because you don't see the consequences immediately. It may take time for you to see the effects of why that truth was true to begin with. And that comes mm-hmm. with wisdom and growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So another question that tends to come up when we're talking about how our beliefs control us, or how we are responsible for the things that we believe, or how we can control that. Some people want to know, are they responsible for everything that's happened to them?
Yes.
You're
responsible.
Yes.
Yes, you're responsible for everything, because your beliefs are what you attract in your life. I think you're truly responsible for what happens to you.
How does that work with the not so pretty things that can happen? You know, the
oh, you still attracted it. and I read Joseph Murphy, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And one of the things he said is all your experiences, events, conditions, and acts are produced by your subconscious mind in reaction to your thoughts. So the thing that you think is the thing that you attract.
So what about, you know, the sticky stuff? Like if a woman loses a baby and she miscarriages, or mm-hmm. a woman is raped.
And so then you're saying, did she attract that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she attracted it in whether it could have been a fear of it happening. It could have it's possible that it could have been a fear of it happening, or there's something she wanted to experience outside of that. But that the rape itself leads up to the experience that she's having. Do you see what I'm saying?
So that goes along with the belief that basically you decided what experiences you were going to have before you got here thing. Okay.
But I mean, it's because we do have those thoughts and those beliefs that, like I said, that are subconscious that we don't even know why. But because I believe that we are the creators, and I believe that we create our experiences, knowing or unknowing. And I think that in those cases, certain things like that happen. There's an agreement that this is okay, so this is what I'm going to experience this, but the outcome is going to be this. Back to what you were saying, what you said earlier. It can be something bad. You can think that you're having the worst experience in your life, but then the outcome can be great. But you had to have that terrible experience, which you consider a terrible experience, in order for you to have what you consider the great experience. What do you think?
I think it's always like a mixture of two things for me. One is I do believe that we attract and repel at the same time the things that happen in our lives. But again, because we are beings that interact with one another, I also think that there are things that can happen to you.
Do you think you have to agree for that to happen to you?
To some sense, I would say, yeah, I think so. I think so to some degree. And that doesn't make it like insensitive when sensitive situations happen to just be like, oh, I deserved it. I'm holding up this poster asking for it. Definitely
No,
not like that.
right,
Not like that.
no.
So when we say responsible, we don't mean in the like psychological conscious sense. We mean that there tend to be underlying things that we are not aware of that are more in the subconscious or the unconscious or on the spiritual level, that may have put that there. And I think that we, again, and that's what makes spirituality so personal too. We don't know what somebody else's journey is supposed to be or the avenues taken to which they're supposed to get there. But I think that, again, there are things that we can either attract to ourselves or repel based on our own beliefs, and the things that we have been saying. And then I also think that we affect each other. Our auras and our electromagnetic fields interact with each other too. So I think that could play a part as well.
Do you feel everything belongs?
Yes, I do now. I didn't always think that. But after much study, and to be quite honest, like, I still have to reread things to remind myself of how that works because, when you're going through things, especially if it's bad things, the last thing you want to think about is, I did it to myself. Like, because on the conscious level, you're like, why would I ask for this? Like, there's nothing, this doesn't feel good.
Well,
Like,
I
this is
think
my
a
best
lot of times
experience.
you don't even realize it could have been even so long ago. And it's not that you just you may have verbally said it. It could have been just your thoughts, and it's the things that you filter in, the things that you watch, the things that you listen to that can produce certain thoughts in your mind, certain thought patterns and things like that. And that energy is attracting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're either attracting or repelling something. So depending on how you feel about yourself, you could be attracting things that you feel like, if you don't feel like you're worth anything, you're going to attract people in your life who are going to treat you like you aren't worth anything.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't feel like you're capable of doing something.
Well, that's one of those beliefs that we kind of, you know, like you may tell your child, if you don't think you're pretty, then who's going to think you're pretty? We can apply it there. But it's kind of hard to apply. Well, if you think, you can say it in that form, but it's hard to apply if you say, well, if you don't think you're nothing, then you're going to attract someone that's going to treat you like you're nothing.
Or if you believe that you deserve a punishment in some sort of way, then you attract people in your life that punish you.
And that's something that I had to learn, because I like people do things and I would be like, okay, so they just get to do that and that's okay. Well, I had to realize that, well, for them, they don't believe they've done anything wrong.
Yeah.
So they don't believe that they've done anything wrong, then nothing happens. They still operate normally operate. There is no effect or karma, because they don't attract the karma because they don't believe that they're even wrong for it. And that's another thing, we automatically kind of think karma is karma and you're going to get it back.
Right.
But what if I don't even think I'm fine with, I'm okay with what I've done. I'm perfectly fine. See, the karma comes when you feel bad about what you've done and you feel like there's going to be some karma because of what you've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that one is still one of those I kind of keep reading about. Keep learning about it and keep trying to, you know, make sure I understand it, like, okay, you know,
yeah,
because I think it's bad, that doesn't mean that they think it's bad. And so if I can say this is bad for me and I'm trying to say, oh, this is bad for you too, I can't say that.
Exactly. It's too personal. And I think we also have to consider that we are operating off of our subconscious 95% of the time. And we don't know what's all in there. And the older you are, of course, the worse it is, because the more life you've lived and therefore could have been programmed and influenced by so many different things. But yeah, like, we have to remember that we are co-creators in this world. So the beliefs, the things that we've been saying, and that's why, like, even down to saying small things, oh, my husband's gonna kill me if I'm late, like stuff like that,
you're
like,
still speaking that into existence. And another thing he said, Joseph Murphy said in the book, based on what you just said, he said, as a person thinks, feels, and believes, so is the condition of his or her mind, body, and circumstances.
Exactly. So that can be a really deep subject. And I really hope that you guys are not taking what we're saying as though it is insensitive or anything, especially when it comes to the harder topics and questions of life. But we're trying to explain it as clear as we can, and it's possible we may have to, we can always revisit this topic in another episode if there is some uncertainty, or if people have more questions. But I want you guys to understand that, like I said, these are really big concepts. Okay, so even for me, I have to go back and revisit certain books to remind myself of exactly how these concepts work. Because when you're in the midst of something happening, it's hard to just remember, oh yeah, yeah, I attracted that to myself. When something not so good is happening in your life, that is not what you're thinking. Nor is that what you want to hear. But it doesn't mean that it's still not operating. The law of attraction, the things we attract to us, is operating all the time. Mm-hmm. Whether we decide we want to participate and be conscious of what we're attracting or not, it is still happening. And so it's really important to be very protective of your environment and who you allow in it. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned before, our cells has receptors. So do we. We have 5 senses that in which we receive things. So be careful what you're seeing. That's a receptor. Mm-hmm. Be careful what you're smelling, tasting, hearing. Those are receptors. And things that you're touching physically, those are receptors as well. Because all of them is taking in information from our environment and storing some sort of opinion or perspective about them through the filter, which is our brain. Mm-hmm. Our perception is that filter. So if you are, I would say, if you are really not able to wrap your mind around the concept that we really are responsible for the things that happen to us, I recommend that you read books like The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton, some works done by Joe Dispenza. Toya mentioned Joseph Murray, which is a good one as well.
Murphy.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good one. And we are fans of the Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God series, which reads like a script. So it's like, you know, God talking, then Neil, so on and so forth. And it gets into some hard questions in there too. But Neil Donald Walsh has such a way.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, he has such a way of making it palatable to where, you know, it's going to give you the truth, but it can give it to you gently. And mm-hmm. it's comforting because you see Neil asking the questions that you would want to ask if you mm-hmm. were having the conversation, like, you know, I don't understand that. What are you saying? What do you mean? You know, and asking clarifying questions and everything. It's a great series. So, yeah, Toya, we may have to revisit.
Yeah, you have to revisit it.
And because when we did the law of attraction, we can get more into that too.
Yeah, because one of the things I wanted to, for me, I want to create more consciously than, you know, my subconscious, because I notice even for myself, things happen that I may feel is unpleasant. I'm trying to look at it in a different way to see why I'm feeling like it's unpleasant. Why did I create it? When did I create it? And what am I supposed to get from it? Mm-hmm. To be able to create more consciously, because it is so many things that we absorb that cause things to happen. So I think that definitely, and I sometimes I'll be like, so this is what I created. Why? I don't want mm-hmm. it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because sometimes and like you said, we can get into it when you talk about the law of attraction, because the thing is, I may have said it, I may have spoken it out of anger or however, and I forgot about it and I let it go. Mm-hmm. And because I let it go, now here I am attracting it. And then I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't it. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? Because now I'm perceiving this as bad. This is a bad experience for me, and now I'm trying to figure it out, because now I need to recreate this in mm-hmm. a different way. So I think knowing it and learning it is good, because then you can take more control of your life.
Right. And just think about it, guys. I know we brought up 2 sensitive topics, rape, miscarriage. But I will say, consider the subconscious vibrations that a person could be vibrating at. You know, when a dominant, assertive person walks into a room, that energy can be felt. Mm-hmm. You and the people outside of them or around them will automatically sense, oh, I'm not going to mess with that person. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're too assertive. They're too sure of themselves. But if your vibration is low. You don't think much of yourself. You don't think you're worth anything. You don't think that you deserve to have good things, or you deserve to live good and certain things like that, then you're going to attract lower vibrational experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when you consider a miscarriage, well, you know, how confident are you that you can
provide?
Right, that you can provide. How confident are you? Because if you think that the world is an unsafe space, then you don't think you can provide security. You don't think that the world is even safe enough to bring a child into. Or maybe mm-hmm. it's financial security that you're scared about. Or maybe your spouse isn't too happy about having another kid or having a mm-hmm. kid at all. So it's things like that. It's things that are buried in the subconscious that definitely have an effect on what our body is resonating and what we're, you know, what we're subconsciously saying that we want, and therefore we're attracting, or we don't want, and therefore we're repelling.
Yeah, that was a hard one for me with, what was that when we were reading, what's his name? Ernest Holmes, The Science of the Mind.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, he was like, if you're telling me that, when he said, you're not a millionaire, because you don't really want to be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because if you really wanted to be a millionaire, if you
would be one.
Subconsciously really wanted to be a millionaire,
yeah,
you would already be a millionaire.
Right.
So the law of attraction.
Like, are you kidding me? I want to be a millionaire. But no, you don't. If you think that money is the root of all evil, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that rich people are all angry, selfish jerks, mm-hmm. then no, you don't want to be one unless you like those qualities.
Or you look at them and you're like, oh, it doesn't make sense for this one person to make all this money.
Right.
So then how are you?
One.
How right. You're not going to attract it.
Exactly. Because you technically repel mm-hmm. the idea of it because of how you perceive a rich or a millionaire to be.
Right. And see, that's not the part. All they know is consciously I'm saying, oh my gosh, I want to hit the lottery. I want to mm-hmm. be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire.
Right.
So consciously. Or
you believe in scarcity. You believe that by you being a millionaire, others will suffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, baby, I want to be a millionaire, and it's enough for everybody to eat. And it's just certain things I don't trip on anymore, even as small as, like, today I was fixing some lunch for the kids, and I had pulled out, I was going to put some beans and rice, and I had pulled out a can of, like, these barbecue beans,
mm-hmm.
and it had expired, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The old me would have been like, oh my gosh, like this is like $6 that mm-hmm. I didn't even use it. But today me was like, mm-hmm. oh dang, I gotta get some more. Uh-huh. And I left it at that. Like, it's the belief that I can get right. more. I can get more. Guys, if we lived out in the wild and you had all these different fruits and vegetables growing everywhere, it would be more than enough for you to eat. Would you, mm-hmm. if the ones you don't eat wither away and die, guess what? More will come. Mm-hmm. More will pop up.
But you have to believe it.
Oh my gosh, if I don't harvest every single thing that's out here and save it and preserve it, that is a scarcity mindset because you don't have the faith that the harvest is going to return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's even little things like that that you may not even think of, but is programmed in your subconscious that will repel the millionaire status from coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you've got buried in there that there's lack.
Right. Scarcity. You're looking at your bills come every month, and every time you get your bill, you're like, oh my God, I gotta pay this. This costs this much. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's still the negative energy mm-hmm. towards it. You have to look at it like, oh, okay. Oh, how much is this? Oh, okay. Because you believe more is coming. You believe mm-hmm. that more is coming, or there's always enough.
Yep.
I always have enough. If mm-hmm. you believe that God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory, then you shouldn't be worried about the bill anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. So y'all, I threw them little cans away. I was like, oh, I got to get some more beans. And mm-hmm. I just left it at that. I want to get some more. There's no such thing as wasting. I'm not wasting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting more to come. It just didn't get used. It just didn't get used this time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. If I'm wasting, nature wastes. Do you know how many apple trees and banana trees and all mm-hmm. these that don't get eaten? What happens? It goes back into the earth. It'll get recycled. New things are going to bloom. Period. Right. It's not wasting. It's just, okay. We have, but that's how it is when there is an abundance and there is more than enough. Mm-hmm. It's more than enough. You use what you need and you leave the rest.
Yes.
Trust me, the earth knows what to do with it.
Absolutely.
So I think we gave a pretty good understanding of beliefs and some examples of how our beliefs can affect our lives and the decisions mm-hmm. that we make, where they come from, how they're created. We even threw a little science in there for y'all, as well as some reading recommendations. I also want to throw one more reading recommendation in there, and that is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one too. A good introduction to helping you think, or at least have the capacity to consider concepts like what you've heard in today's mm-hmm. episode.
And I think one of the main things I think, guys, is just basically out of everything that we've said, you know, try to judge less.
Yeah.
When you're understanding that beliefs are, if they're not like universal laws, the beliefs are very individual based.
Exactly. So, all right. With that being said, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, guys.
Please subscribe and share the podcast. We love to hear your feedback. So please put your comments down there in the comments section. And feel free to shoot us an email if you think we need to elaborate more on this topic, or if there are other topics that you think mm-hmm. would be cool for us to discuss. Thank you for sharing the space. And we'll see y'all next time.
See you next time.
Bye.